Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. How you doing? I'm exhausted. I think I've had one of the busiest weeks ever. Well, certainly for a long time. It's just been so much going on. And then across the weekend, I've got my first ever course I'm hosting for people who are training to be Sober Club coaches. So that's really exciting. So I've been absolutely mad busy, but it's all been really good. And I've also been processing a huge amount because I did my training in family constellations, which I'll tell you more about in due course. But yeah, my head's still spinning from all of that, literally. So I hope you've had a good week. And I've also been jacking up some great guests for the podcast. So tell you about them in due course. I really love it, by the way, when people drop me a message and say if they've enjoyed a guest or if they've got suggestions for guests. It really, really does make it all worthwhile. So thank you. It's so much appreciated. For this podcast, we've teamed up with Thomas T. Total. You know that I'm constantly banging on about, you know, keep the ritual, change the ingredients. Don't just have a cup of tea because it probably won't cut it. And now there are just so many amazing drinks, you know, that suit every taste. But one of the things that people sometimes say to me is, well, that's all very well, but, you know, I'm going to a mate's house, or I'm going to be traveling on a train, or I'm going to be, you know, on the road or whatever. And I can't just take a load of stuff with me to mix up my alcohol-free cocktail. So what am I meant to do? You know, I don't particularly want a can of beer or whatever. But we have the answer now, because Thomas T. Total is this fantastic non-alcoholic cocktail in a can. So you've got this Italian-style pre-mixed aperitif spritz, this cocktail, and it's only natural ingredients. So I love the fact there's no artificial flavor, you know, sweeteners, no flavors or a load of stuff you don't need in it. This brand, Thomas Tipple, create, I'm told, some of the finest canned cocktails. And so they thought, well, let's do the same. Let's offer the same quality and taste, but let's do it without the alcohol. So that's exactly what they've done. They replicated their first aperitif spritz using great quality ingredients, and they work with a top mixologist from a London bar to get the same taste and texture and the same kind of sophistication that you'd have, as they say, about cocktails. There's something that seems sophisticated, doesn't it? Well, it is sophisticated if it doesn't have the booze in it, right? So they've got this alcohol-free aperitif spritz, and as I say, naturally sourced ingredients. It's a recyclable kind of slimline can, so they look really nice. And if you're interested in the stats, each 250ml can is under 60 calories and has got less than 3 grams of sugar. So that's super good, because that's the other problem with a lot of, if you go into a bar and ask them to make you a mocktail, often, if you're not careful, before you know, look around, they've poured in a ton of that sugar syrup and you get something that's much too sweet. But this is just great. It's got this kind of citrusy flavour and notes of grapefruit and mandarin, and it's really, really lovely drink. And, you know, you can serve it chilled, obviously, in a glass, and if you can, with ice and garnish. But obviously, you can just have it in the can, you know, on the go. So fantastic brand. We've got some to give away as well. So if you go to thesoberclub.com, and if you look at the show notes, we'll give you all the information, and it's thomastttotal.com. My guest this week is one of my Sober Club members, and we've spoken to her before, Dominique McManus. I think I interviewed her before when she was just back in the UK from being in the Bahamas, where she'd been working, and she shared her story then. And I thought, wouldn't it be great just to have a catch up all these months on and see how she's doing? She's always contributing great posts in the Sober Club, so I thought it'd be lovely to hear what's going on for her. Well, I'm absolutely delighted to bring back Dominique McManus. How are you doing, Dominique?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, it's really lovely to chat to you. So some people listening to this will know that we had a chat goodness, quite a while ago now, wasn't it? When we talked about how you had got to your sobriety journey and, you know, some of the kind of ups and downs. But then in recent months, you've, as a Sober Club member, you've inspired us all with your wonderful posts, which are really fabulously descriptive. We're all waiting for you to write a book, Dominique.
No pressure.
I'm sure you'll be doing that soon. But I thought, you know, it's a shame that only the people in the Sober Club get to hear some of this absolute wonder and joy that stems forth, along with a lot of realism as well. So I thought let's just kind of catch up on your journey and some of the amazing insights, because you really have had some really great insights, and you do have a wonderful way of putting it into words. Just for anyone who hasn't heard your story before, just give us the kind of top line of what happened for you.
Okay, well, I had been thinking for a long time that I was drinking too much and probably wasn't in control in the way that I would have wanted to be. I was living abroad and living in a kind of expat lifestyle, which was very sort of social and very drink fueled as well. And when we last year, I think just before lockdown, I'd got very sober curious and had been reading lots of literature on quitting drinking. I'd done lots of Sober October and Dry January, all those things that we do just to prove we haven't got a problem. And then we went into lockdown last year and I decided that now was the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And so we went into lockdown in March. I think the beginning of the lockdown, like everybody, found that drinking ramped up like it did because we all had an excuse. And then by May, I think I tried in April and then kind of had a few hiccups. And then in May, I decided this was it. And I think a few days after I made the decision, I joined the Sober Club online, which I think was pivotal for me. And I then spent 5 months in lockdown overseas, practically living on my own and not drinking. And then I came back last September. So I've been back over a year now. So I spent the first 5 months in lockdown overseas, and a few months of that, I actually, you know, decided to give up drinking. And I think for me, that was a bit of that was a benefit that we were in lockdown and life had changed, because I found it easier to make the change.
Yeah. I mean, we should say, shouldn't we, that, you know, it wasn't all easy for you, and you know, when you kind of sum it up like that, makes it seem like, oh, it was easy, it was lockdown, it was easy. But, you know, I know we had some conversations where it was very difficult for you, because being in that kind of expat community in the Bahamas, drinking was what everyone did together, and so, you know, you really did have to kind of stand up and be countered as and when people got together, didn't you?
Well, yes. I mean, when I first, we kind of, I think a bit like in this country, we kind of went in and out of lockdown or restrictions kind of eased and things at various points, and we'd get together. And I actually, my cover story, because lots of us have a cover story when we give up drinking, because people would say, what, you're not drinking, what's the matter with you? Mm-hmm. And I said that I'd been set a challenge, or I said my story was that I'd been bet that I couldn't give up drinking for 100 days. Mm-hmm. And I'd said, watch me, I'll do it. And I read that much that said, if you quit for 100 days, you won't go back. So that was the story that I had. And there were a few people that kept saying to me, are you still doing that non-drinking shit thing? And I'm like, yeah, I am. It was. And then we had other complications like hurricanes and things like that, just to, you know, situations or triggers that normally would have been an excuse to drink, or emotionally it would be stressful and your normal reaction would be to, you know, oh well, everything's going wrong, I'll have a glass of wine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, you know, you and I had some conversations over that period. And I know that when you came back to the UK, you know, everything wasn't exactly roses. You know, your mum was ill. You know, there was stuff going on with the places you lived. So, you know, I'm just trying to sort of share with everyone that everything wasn't perfect in your life by any means, was it? But
no,
you had this incredible tenacity through it all, which I really noticed.
Well, it was almost like it became hilarious, didn't it? It was like, what could happen now? It was like the day I think I posted in the Sober Club that we went into lockdown in the Bahamas for the second time with no notice at all. Mm. The Prime Minister just decided to shut the country down. If you hadn't been shopping, it was tough luck because the shops were going to be shut for a week. And I remember posting in the Sober Club, okay, so I've got a loaf of bread. So it looks like I'm going to be eating a lot
There's some
toast.
Recipe ideas.
And yeah. It was that, yeah. And when I came back, obviously there was the situation with my mum, who I'm sure a lot of people have gone through. You know, my mum, the lockdown over here had accelerated what turned out to be dementia in my mum. And she was, you know, all kinds of things that I'm sure lots of people have experienced. But yeah, lots of situations that could have been not an excuse, or maybe an excuse to say, well, do you know what, I've done really well, but it was really stressful. And you know, in the past, the normal reaction would to be bury all that emotion in a glass of wine or two. Because there's never one glass of wine, is it?
Well, that's exactly it. So tell us the good stuff then. I mean, so we've kind of set the scene, and it's not been all plain sailing for you. It's, you know, you've had your ups and downs, but, you know, tell us what happened for you when you started to just somehow get a sense of how life was going to be better.
Well, it's amazing how when you, I think that for me, I did all the research and read all the quick lit that I could get my hands on before I actually gave up drinking. And I think that in the past, where I've done dry January or whatever, it was a different mindset, because it was okay, so I'm not going to drink for a whole month. And all you do in dry January is count down the days to when you can drink.
Grit
you
feel your teeth. Like
you white knuckle through January and think, oh, why didn't I do this in February? Because it's a much shorter month. And you get to the end of the month and then you think, wow, but you think you're giving something up. And I think I'd made the decision when I gave up that I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. Mm. And it's interesting because I read something came up in a memories today, and it was an early post in the Sober Club. And I've been a big fan of journaling from the beginning. I wrote down every day how I felt. And one of my early posts in the Sober Club says, wow, I can't believe how I feel. I really, really want this. I can't believe the changes. And look at me, I've got to day 20. So by day 20, I'd already felt the benefit. Mm. And yet when you do dry January, you know, why didn't I feel like that before? And that's because I didn't go into it with the same mindset.
It's all about the mindset, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
And I've said in the past, haven't I, that when I was in lockdown, our drinks cabinet, I just kept looking at it and imagining it had a skull and crossbones all over it. You know, why do I want to drink this poison?
Mm, yeah. So tell us some of the changes that have happened for you. And I know there's been some sort of physical changes. You know, you feel so much better, and I know you know how much better you look as well. You know, so tell us about that. But also this, what I think has been the most incredible change in your just your appreciation of yourself, really.
I think that that's been a massive change for me. And I think that I suffered a lot with lack of confidence and sort of anxiety, albeit that I just said I was a worrier and worried about everything. But massive, massive lack of self-confidence. And I think a lot of people who give up drinking say that they thought that they were extrovert, but they're actually quite introverted. And it was all that whole kind of, you know, I'm much more fun when I've had a drink. And, you know, I used to say to friends, I don't want to be the one who's dancing on the table. And they go, well, that's why we invite you, Dom, because you always get the party going. But so for me, I didn't have the cravings and things for not drinking that I thought I would have and other people have, but I had to deal with a lot of emotional kind of things, and particularly around how I felt about myself, how I felt about relationships with other people. And I think in the beginning, Janie, obviously we did a lot of sessions together, and it's about unpeeling all of that and actually getting to know the person that you are, or maybe you would have been if you hadn't have kind of numbed it all with drink. Mm. And then actually being learning to be able to take a compliment when somebody gives it to you and appreciate what you are good at. I remember when you set me an exercise of write down 10 things that make you great or that you're good at, and I think I said to you, don't make me do it.
People find it so hard, don't they? So hard to blow their own trumpet, because we've had a whole lifetime of, you know, we're very good at telling other people what's good about them, but we can only think of what's good about ourselves in relation to other people.
Yes.
You know, we commonly say, oh, well, I'm a good listener, or, you know, I'm a good team worker. But we would very rarely actually just say, do you know what? I'm just completely great at whatever it is.
And the thing is because we've been brought up and we're in a kind of that generation where you don't do that, and the things that I was good at were different to what other people were good at, and so, but that wasn't celebrated in my life, you know, in how I was brought up, and the things I was good at, that was showing off, you know, and so you learn not to show off because nobody likes to show off.
But you now know, don't you, fully, that self-care is actually not, you know, selfish in any way. It's literally showing up, not showing off, or you know, it's essential, isn't it? Right.
And the thing is I've realized that I've made some poor decisions in the past because I didn't think I was worth anything more.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, I think, like you said in the past, I could say, you know, all those things where, you know, in work, when you manage a team and you big people up and you tell them how great they are and whatever, but that applies to them, it doesn't apply to you, you know, or somebody'd say, and I think lots of people are guilty of, oh, you're great at that. Oh, no, I'm not. You know, that's just, you know, oh, you look great. Oh, do this old thing I bought, you know. Mm. And actually it's learning to say, yeah, great, thanks. Yeah, I thought. And looking in the mirror and saying, do you know what? I look good today.
Yeah.
But then there is obviously the physical elements of giving up drinking. You know, I mean, I said, didn't I, in the beginning, that my brother said to me, when you get to 50, you got the face you deserve. And you quoted me in your book. But I actually think I look younger now than I did before.
Oh, well, we said many times, best anti-aging secret ever. You're welcome. Yeah. I mean, you do look like a different person. Sometimes I wish so much that I could have videoed early coaching sessions with people. It'd be a bit mean, wouldn't it? But wouldn't it be literally incredible? Because to see the way people transform, I mean, as you say, definitely look younger, but it's not just about how you look, obviously. There's something about the energy, and everything about your energy is different. Where are we at now then in terms of your sober streaks? What's your
I'll be 18 months next month.
Wow,
in November.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And if you think, when I joined that first sober club Zoom meeting, I was like so terrified. And then I think I even shared it, that I wrote in my journal the next day that I was so glad that I'd been brave enough to get online, because people just went, hi, welcome, you know, and then suddenly you realise that there are other people in the same situation, you know, and it's just all about support and belonging to something and not feeling alone. But I mean, my brother says to me, he's been a great support, and there's never, you know, lots of people make comments, don't they, about, and lots of us don't tell people who've stopped drinking because of people's attitude. But he's been fantastic, and something's happened now, and I'll go, okay, whatever. And he'll turn around and he goes, that's amazing. Chardonnay Dom would have been in the floor now in a heap. He said, crying and wailing and being a drama queen. And he said, you is remarkable. You're like a different person.
Wow. How brilliant. That's incredible, isn't it? The way we, you know, I mean, even when other people really notice the change, it's incredible. So just run us down a few of the things that you think have really made a difference for you.
Definitely connection, and that's connection, the sober club. And I mean, I say it all the time, I think that's been the main thing for me in keep. And I know that I sort of hashtag a lot of the time, being here is what keeps me here. You know, yeah. I mean, lots of people join kind of groups like this and they get to a certain point and they go, okay, I'm good with this now. I'm going to leave. And I think I've said before, I'm here, I'm a lifer now, because being here is what keeps me here. And connection, definitely. And I think, but I think one of the things that you said to us in the beginning was, you know, the opposite of addiction is connection. But then another one that I have taken on board is the opposite of depression is expression.
Yes.
So for me, that's been a big one. And in the past, you know, I've been criticized by various people in my life for talking too much and sharing too much, and have been reluctant in the past to communicate how I was feeling. But obviously nobody who's in the sober club now could accuse me of not sharing.
Well, you do such lovely posts. There was one recently where you show us all these beautiful pictures of you're lucky enough to live by the sea. So we get to see all the amazing pictures and the sunsets. And then, you know, you did a post recently where I think you said you detailed a few great things that you're happy about and grateful. You know, gratitude, I know, is a big one for you. But then you said the biggest change in your life is being yourself. And, you know, just explain what you mean by that, because when we're still drinking, that's the piece you can't grasp. You can't grasp that you may not yet know who you are.
No. And I think we make excuses for ourselves and we apologize for ourselves and things like that, that we don't need to. And we make jokes about ourselves because we think that we should do that before somebody else will, you know. And it's actually, I never thought I'd be able to say, you know, if somebody pays you a compliment and then you would never repeat it to somebody else because you think it sounds, you know, somebody said to me the other day that I hadn't seen for ages, "Oh, Dawn, we're like a breath of fresh air."
Yeah.
And I think that's because you feel positive, and not every day's great. You know, we still have bad days, but I think we handle it better. And when things bad happen or we think about how we're going to deal with things, I think, I know how Chardonnay Dom would have dealt with that, but I know how I would deal with it now because I feel confident in myself and the reason that I do things, and because, and I think being happy with yourself is because finally I feel like I'm being authentic.
That's exactly it, isn't it? That really is what it all boils down to. It doesn't mean that everything becomes perfect. It doesn't mean that you know, your life is instantly wonderful. But you approach things from a place of authenticity, which is completely different. And which is, from that place, you are able to choose what's best for you and you know, and still be kind to other people and set boundaries and, you know, and all of that stuff, all that grown-up stuff that is actually almost impossible to do when you're still pouring drink down your head, because we don't have that emotional intelligence. Most of us, you know, kind of, if we started drinking when we were young, we didn't get to really go through much of this stuff before we were just numbing out every time something got hard, right?
No, and I think when you stop drinking, as well as being authentic, you're much more consistent as well. You know, I mean, somebody paid me a backhanded compliment at work the other days because I am confident enough to say what I think now. And at work, somebody said, "Well, you know," I said, "Why do you not say anything?" And they said, "Well, because we know that you'll say something, so we don't need to. But we know what we're going to get because at least, you know, you have a consistent approach." And I thought, you know, a few years ago, I don't think that could have been said of me, because let's face it, if you go into work and you're feeling hungover, you know, you don't react in the same way, because, you know, how many times have we felt that we just need to get the day over with because we just want to go home? And, you know, whereas I think when you don't drink, that you have a much more clearer view of how to deal with things, and you are consistent and you are authentic and you say what you really mean. And I am much more confident of saying what I mean now. I'm very much better at saying no.
Exactly. And I think also, you know, what shines through a lot of the posts that you write in our Sober Club community is that sense of joy, you know. And again, this is a word that I wouldn't have used, you know, a few years ago. The word, I just thought that word was a sign for kind of church. That's it, really, because I had no experience of it until I stopped drinking, you know. But now I can, you know, as Catherine Gray's fabulous book title says, you know, find the joy in the ordinary. And it seems as though that's what you're doing now all the time. You're looking for the joy in the ordinary, aren't you?
And I think, yes. And I think my last post is just how joyful is it to be out at when the sun comes up in the morning, watching the sun come up over the beach and just seeing and being out in nature and seeing all the things that you wouldn't have seen before because you were dragging your sorry ass out of bed to go to work, you know. And it is, and it's, I feel like I've been given a second chance.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And it really is like that, isn't it? It really is.
And I get frustrated with people who moan all the time. And, you know, it's like we have got another chance and I don't want to waste any of it.
Definitely. So, Dom, you have to write this book because you're, you know, you're very talented at describing all of this. And you know, we really, you have a platform here. When it's written, come and launch it on the podcast. And I'll be your first interview. because, yeah, we want to read. We want to read Dom's story and read your take on it. You've got a great way of describing things. Just to pick up on what you were saying about, you know, the importance of connection, you know, and you're right, that the whole point of what we're trying to do in the Sober Club is make it accessible for people who are right at the very beginning of their journey. But also, even if you've been sober 5 years, it really doesn't make any difference because it's all about so much more than not drinking. I mean, of course, not drinking underpins it all. But you, for someone like you at 18 months, there's still so much new stuff for you all the time.
All the time. And I think one of my posts the other week when I said about this is like a journey, and this is like, you know, join us, we're like a double-decker bus running along the road picking people up. But it's all the others, and I said, like, we need a trailer to cart all the extra stuff that we have with us now, because I didn't actually realize, regardless of the fact that I lived in the Caribbean, I did this massive job and all of these things, my life was still small in comparison with how it is now, because we just have so much more energy and so many more hours in the day, and we're so much more open to other things. If anybody had told me I'd drink vegetables, I'd have said that they were crazy.
We're talking about the juice shot challenge, if anyone's thinking. What is she?
All these things I've only tried because I've been in the Sober Club, you know, and it's like the friends that you make, you know, it's like Queen Kombucha's got me brewing kombucha in my pantry now, you know, and all these.
Well, it's very interesting, isn't it, the friendships? Because I was thinking about this, you know, the other day, because we're a very, you know, in the Sober Club, a very diverse group of people.
Yes.
And you wouldn't necessarily, you know, automatically be friends with someone. You know, it's not like they live at the end of your road or anything necessarily. It's not that they're necessarily exactly the same age or the same kind of lifestyle. It's not about that. What is shared is this, well, it's what you've just been describing. It's the fact that all of us have got this second chance at life, as it were. And so whatever the next thing is for us, everyone else is cheering us on. Now, where else in life do you find that? You don't really. That's exactly it. When you're with people who are drinking, it's almost a case of who can be the most miserable. And if someone says, you know, do you know what? I've been thinking about writing a book. It's like, oh, for God's sake, don't be ridiculous. You haven't even got time to pee. Have another drink, you know. but we're cheerleaders for each other. Because we know how exciting it feels to be going after what it is you want. And it's different for everyone. Of course it is. Not everyone is going to write a book the way you are, Dom. See, I seeded that there. But that's not everyone's purpose. We're all different. But whatever your purpose is, you've got a cheerleading gang here, because we can see in others that they are finding themselves. And there's something so attractive about that. And that's what brings us together, I think.
Absolutely. And the joyful thing is that the friends that I've made, there's no way our lives would have crossed.
Yeah.
If not, you know, and these are really powerful connections. And the thing is, at 18 months or nearly 18 months for me, being in the sober club, it doesn't need to be called the sober club really, because it's, we don't, drink doesn't even, is not on our radar, is it? So all the things that we talk about, you know, in the community and in the friendship groups or whatever, it's got nothing to do with drinking anymore.
No, it's just living your best life.
Yes, it's just, it is all the other things that, you know, we're trying and doing. And I just wish I'd done this sooner.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. Yeah, and I mean, I know when we did the last retreat and we had our lovely friend who joined, who was sort of like early 30s, and we all just said, didn't we? We just so jealous because we wish we found this joy 20 years ago.
Yeah,
but
it's never too late. And if anyone's listening who is older.
Absolutely. I have done more in terms of challenging myself, putting myself outside of my comfort zone and pushing myself to do different things more in the last 18 months than probably for years before that.
Yeah, definitely. Amazing.
Emotionally as well, I think, you know, and it's, but you feel like you're able to do that because you're braver.
Definitely.
You know? And you don't feel fragile. I realized that I felt fragile all the time.
Yeah, me too. Fragile and kind of scared of my own shadow, actually.
Yes.
Scared of everything, anxious about everything, all of the time.
And now we just talk about wearing sparkly pants.
Well, you do. For anybody listening to Dom for the first time, you may not know that she talks about sparkly pants all the time. That's a bit of an in-joke. We'll leave that one there. Anyways, so to sum up then, what's your top tip for anyone who's in the early days and thinking, oh my God, you know, it all sounds so marvellous for those two?
Just keep going and just take each day as it comes and just concentrate on putting one foot in front of the other. And just, you have to be, it's not being selfish, it's being selfless. You need to, you know, think about yourself. And I remember you saying it's almost like you have to treat it like a pregnancy, as much as, you know, at all costs, your sobriety is the most important thing. And, you know, you have to look after that because it is important, because it is so much better. And why would you want to miss out on that?
Yeah.
You know, just, but don't have too many expectations. If you, it was a bit like the analogy I had, because I'm a florist. I said, you know, if you had a vase of flowers and one of the flowers died, you wouldn't chuck the whole vase full out. You'd take
Absolutely.
The dying flower out, you'd recut the stems, put some fresh water in and go back to enjoying how it looked. You know, lots of people have had false starts. I'm one of them, you know, and just don't give up giving up. You know, because it life is so much better. And I don't care if I sound corny, because it is so much better. And I don't want to be the person that I was. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to feel like I did when I was drinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's just brilliant to chat to you again, Dominique. You really are that ray of sunshine. It's fabulous. And we look forward to the book. Thank you so much for being my guest. I appreciate it.
No problem. Lovely to talk to you. Take care, Janie.
So don't forget, connection really is everything. Please join us in the Sober Club if you would like to. Have a look. It's a platform that's totally non-judgmental, and it's not very expensive. It's certainly cheaper than the money you'd spend on booze, right? And as Dominique said, it is about so much more than just, in inverted commas, not drinking. So people in the Sober Club are, you know, well, there's nothing typical. We have people on day one or thinking about it, through to people who are 4 and a bit years sober, because we're all focusing on, you know, living our best life without the booze, really. So we'd love you to join us if you'd like to. It's not a big group. It's, you know, quite contained. And our private Facebook group, I'm in there kind of 24/7, so it's not one of these really huge groups where you get lost. There's a huge amount of connection and support. What else do I need to tell you? Sober by the Sea, we have one on November the 6th, so I think there might be space or two left. That's just a one day thing, so you can vision the new you, create a vision board, get clarity on what you want. And then we have a retreat at Champneys. There's a few spaces left on that.
November 20th, Self-Care and Sobriety. Don't forget, I'm part of Simon Chappell's event in January, so really looking forward to that, January the 2nd. Ahead of that, actually, the last week in October, I'm part of the Club Soda's online event, so I'm going to be part of a panel there. Tell you more about that one next week. And don't forget, I offer coaching, one-to-one coaching. I've got extremely limited slots, but you know, do get in touch if that resonates. So whatever's going on for you, make sure you stay connected, whichever way you try and do this. There's loads of different ways to do this. It doesn't have to be joining anything I'm part of. There's so many different ways. The most important thing is that you do what feels right for you. Just get yourself connected. Tell someone. Don't try and do this completely on your own. Get your prep in place, you know, focus on the good, not the bad. Focus on what you're gaining, not what you're giving up, because you're seriously not giving anything up. And just remember, this is just the best thing you will ever do for yourself. So, you know, if you want any more kind of optimism and enthusiasm, well, there's 2 years worth of podcasts you can listen to. I've pretty much peddled the same message throughout, which is, you know, sobriety rocks, right? So I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.